It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. There are 70 million wheelchair users worldwide. Our guests, Dr. Rory Cooper and Dr. John Perlman, are helping to create new standards for the wheelchair bound. The doctors are co-directors of Pitt's Department of Rehabilitation Science and Technology, and this month they're launching the International Society of Wheelchair Professionals. They join us now in Studio A to discuss how their work will impact wheelchair users around the world. Dr. Rory Cooper, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Dr. John Perlman, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Doing well, thanks.
If you have a comment or question for our guests, a question that you might want to ask on behalf of yourself or someone you know, a family member perhaps, who is wheelchair-bound, our number is 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email address is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh, hashtag EPLive. Gentlemen, wheelchairs have been around for a long time. How much have they changed and evolved over the years?
Tremendously. I mean, the first wheelchairs were really wheelbarrows or sort of push carts, and they've kind of evolved to where they were chairs with wheels. Actually, the early ones were even carried, like you would see, on that the one car luxury car commercial where you have a couple of slaves carrying a chair. And they evolved to be chairs with wheels that people would push. So you could see out of sort of the Civil War era pictures or World War One era pictures. In 1932, Harry Everest and Herbert Jennings created the first all-steel wheelchair, which looks a lot like the folding hospital wheelchairs we still today, sort of the chrome steel chairs. And that was really the norm up until the 1970s. But at that time, wheelchair users really got involved in the wheelchair design and created sort of what we see as the modern wheelchairs of today, where we have carbon fiber, titanium, a lot of aluminum. Chairs have gone from, in 1980, when I was first injured, weighing about 80 pounds, to I have a wheelchair now that weighs about 11 pounds.
And I should mention for people, we are on radio. Folks can't see us. Dr. Cooper, you are, in fact, wheelchair-bound. So someone who is knowledgeable as a user as well as a designer.
Right. And I think I became a sort of an engineer and a designer out of interest and a wheelchair designer out of necessity because the technology was literally so poor. It was very difficult to get around. It was a tremendous barrier for education and employment and career opportunities. Whereas now as a facilitator in countries like the United States or Western Europe, of course, the whole goal of the society is to provide those opportunities to everyone around the world that needs access to a wheelchair.
Is that maybe part of the problem, traditionally, people who are in the wheelchairs maybe weren't always being consulted, and B, that as society has evolved into something that where it tries to provide equal opportunity to everyone. I mean, the Americans with Disabilities Act didn't even come into being until it hasn't even quite been a quarter of a century. So, our thinking, how is that evolving?
So, well, the ADA will turn 25 in July of this year, and it's had a tremendous impact. Traveling, hotels are now accessible. You can rent a car with hand controls. You can get access to accessible transportation. There are accessible bus routes are becoming more the norm. Probably the two largest barriers that remain are accessible private housing, so getting more accessible housing available, and employment are the challenges. In education, we've become much more enlightened post-ADA as well. And then, of course, that drives wheelchair design because as people are out in the communities more and have higher demands for what they want to do, you need better wheelchairs.
But John Perlman, from the standpoint of really looking at the design Is it been, you know, kind of a relatively modern development, something that we haven't really looked at in earnest until recent times?
Well, I mean, I think that, like Rory said, there's a lot of great wheelchairs out there. There's certainly room to improve and a lot of room to improve even on chairs that are sold here. Part of the goal of the International Society is to extend the benefits of better wheelchairs into other regions. So this is a USAID-funded grant, and the Society is meant to try to take the gains that have occurred related to wheelchair technology and design and push them into regions that that don't currently have them. And also a major goal of it is to improve training in those regions to essentially spread the knowledge of the importance of having good trained clinicians providing chairs and providing choices to wheelchair users.
What is the current standard? Is there a standard in the United States? Is there a standard internationally? And if so, what is it? What are they?
So there are wheelchair standards, international wheelchair standards that are really focused on durability and strength of wheelchairs. But there's not a lot of enforcement around the world. So there's enforcement in the U.S. and in Europe and certain countries around the world. So even though the standards exist and can be adopted and applied, they're not necessarily followed. And those standards, what I think we've all realized is that despite good wheelchairs being available, it's not necessarily – they're not the least expensive wheelchairs, and those are often provided in these other countries. And so it's a matter of raising awareness of the importance and giving the rights – like the ADA has done in the U.S., just being very clear about the rights of people with disabilities and wheelchair users around the world to have good products and good services associated with those products.
And I think one of the things that's driving that is the U.N. Convention on Human Rights for People with Disabilities is sort of modeled on our ADA, and in some aspects pushes a little bit further because the U.N. Convention talks about the importance of inclusion of people with disabilities in making decisions that affect them. I think one of the challenges I would like to point out that even though we have standards and wheelchairs in the United States, in most cases, if you want them covered by your insurance company, are regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. But one of the other challenges that we face is the downward pressures of by insurance companies, including Medicare and Medicaid, to provide the least costly wheelchair, which doesn't necessarily result in the most appropriate wheelchair even in the United States.
In the past 12 years, the U.S. Agency for International Development has spent millions on improving wheelchair services worldwide. What are the improvements that have been made?
So they've funded several different projects around the world to actually deliver wheelchairs. So those projects have been providing wheelchairs through eight different steps that the World Health Organization has standardized as the way to provide wheelchairs. And so that's one of the outcomes of the funding that USAID has provided. They've also, in the last 5 or 6 years, been devoting a lot of money to developing training packages. And those training packages are focused on trying to train clinicians and other technicians on the proper way to provide wheelchairs. That's a core goal of USAID, is to develop those training packages. And the core goal of this international society is to help disseminate that work, train people to provide wheelchairs according to those steps, and carry out that mission so we can professionalize wheelchair services around the world.
I think as we move forward, the goal is to coordinate those services more. They've been sort of individual organizations and isolated organizations in some ways, and to bring them all together so that we can improve the level of the quality of the wheelchairs provided, improve the level of the services provided, and also, in some ways, decrease the dependence on USAID. So this is really a global issue and needs to have a global approach.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and our guests are Dr. Rory Cooper, whom you just heard, and Dr. John Perlman, who are helping to create new standards for the wheelchair-bound. The doctors are co-directors of Pitt's Department of Rehabilitation Science and Technology. And this month, they're launching the International Society of Wheelchair Professionals. If you'd like to join our conversation, 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. If you have a comment or a question about the work of these two individuals, again, who are launching the International Society of Wheelchair Professionals, what led to the formation of this organization, Dr. Perlman?
So the U.S. Agency for International Development has, as Rory said, been coordinating lots of projects around the world, and they have lots of great contractors working on training and packages and providing services around the world. And they realized that the next step was really to have a coordinating center for all these activities, rather than them sort of running different grant programs to try to find good people to do this work. They recognized that to really build capacity over the long term, they had to help establish something that was sustainable, that would help bring everybody together. And so last year, they put out this RFP to develop what they called as a wheelchair secretariat, to really develop a coordinating hub. And we, you know, based on our experience in being in different professional organizations, felt like it needed to be more than just a secretariat. It needed to be a society where people, where members participated, and there was a lot of collaboration around the world to really have it grow in the way that we believe USAID wanted it to grow, in the way that we certainly want it to grow.
And apparently there were needs that were not being met. Clearly that was part of the need for this, I would assume.
Well, I think you're right. And that's why we have a component for training of professionals in order to raise the service, which we need to do in the United States and Europe, as well as all countries and even less resourced environments. Our physical and occupational therapists, even in the United States, only get a few hours of training on wheelchairs. So they're certainly not experts when they graduate. And in other professions, it's even less exposure and in less resource environments and countries. For example, in Africa or South America, they would have even less experience. And then there's the credentialing. So if you do provide training, how do you want to, make sure that there's some way to recognize individuals who have received the training? You want to have organizations that provide good quality wheelchairs and provide them through a good quality process, so you have maximize your outcomes. And then there has to be a way to define quality of the professionals, quality of the service, and quality of the wheelchairs that are being provided, and design guidelines to help facilitate that. So that was one of the challenges I think that USAID faced, was how do you need all of those pieces to work in concert, and how do you do that? And so that was the idea. And we thought, really, that's what professional societies do. They, you get professionals together, they define clinical practice guidelines, they develop standards of practice, they develop standards for technology, and they develop training programs that eventually could be led to accreditation and credentialing. And so that was why we proposed, we responded to the request for proposals for a secretariat with actually a professional society. So very academic. They asked one question, we responded with a slightly different answer.
And one of the key parts is also that we bring is this idea of a feedback loop. So once you establish this, you want a lot of collaboration to talk about how to make it better and how to collect data that's being collected about, or bring data back and try to analyze that and understand how to provide services in the best way that has the most impact on the wheelchair users.
Let's bring in a caller. We have David in Squirrel Hill who would like to join the conversation. David, you're on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. I have a simple question. I still have a wheelchair that I got in 2007, which I no longer need. It was at the end of an illness. And I would like, so far it's been a very good place to put clothes. In other words, I'm not using it. But I wonder if you could give me some guidance as to the best way to give it away where it would be most useful to someone who doesn't have the wherewithal to buy or rent one.
Dr. Cooper.
That's pretty easy. You can write in Wilkinsburg. There's two great organizations near you that would be happy to take the wheelchair and find an appropriate home for it. The Three Rivers Center for Independent Living, and class.
Class.
Class. C-L-A-S-S. It's run by Al Condolucci, who's kind of a Pittsburgh icon.
We know about Al. We've we've profiled him on our program as part of our Pittsburgh Celebrates series.
And so either one of them will be happy to take the wheelchair and find a use with an individual that can really better for it.
Well, that's a good question, David. Something that many people might not think about, and I guess we're just glad that you were able to get up and get out of that wheelchair.
Thank you. Me too.
Okay. 412-246-2002 if you would like to join the conversation. We tend to assume, gentlemen, that the United States is always at the forefront of innovation. But are there other countries that, we've talked about ones that don't have the standards we have here, but are there other countries that have exceeded the standards we have in the United States that we may be learning some things from?
We can certainly learn some things from other countries. I still think that we have a lot of the leading innovators and innovative companies here in the United States, but they're certainly in Northern Europe, particularly Germany and Sweden. In Switzerland, there's some very innovative companies that make some great products.
What are they doing?
So it goes back to my earlier response, where they have a little more advanced and more holistic reimbursement system in those countries, and so that allows them to develop and market technologies which are really largely covered by the VA, Department of Veterans Affairs for veterans, or Office of Vocational Rehabilitation, or if you happen to have a really good insurance company. So they're doing some things like wheelchairs that are manual wheelchairs that might have a bicycle-type add-on. So people can use them to travel a mile or two from their home. So in Europe, with their walking streets and things like that. So it sort of promotes fitness as well as provides mobility.
And I think some of us have seen these. These are the ones that these are the devices that have, in some cases, three wheels. Maybe.
Well, you're sort of thinking of a hand cycle or a hand crank wheelchair, like you would see in the marathon here in Pittsburgh or something.
Okay, I guess that's what I'm thinking.
What I'm thinking is actually it attaches to your wheelchair and converts it to like an electric powered scooter.
Okay.
Or having a bicycle, so you still can use it as a wheelchair, but you can get a little bit longer distances. So it's what I think of sort of a hybrid system. So it's a wheelchair with indoors, and it's more like a touring bicycle outdoors. Power wheelchairs with power seat function, seat elevation, that are can travel 10 miles an hour and go indoors and outdoors. Those are classified as Group 4 chairs in the United States and largely not covered by insurance companies here, and they're quite common in Europe. So those open up a lot broader markets. Stand-up wheelchairs, so wheelchairs that allow people to stand, are more common in the Northern European markets than they are here in the United States. So we certainly have creative people here, of course, like to include John and I among them. But
so it's a matter of finding a funding model?
Well, so you can create things here, but they'll languish in the laboratory or in the patent office if there's not a commercial market for them.
And I understand, Dr. Perlman, you will be doing projects. Both of you, you'll be involved in doing projects around the world to improve wheelchair services.
Yeah, so we'll be training people around the world. We'll be working with other affiliates actually around the world. As we're developing the International Society, the goal is to build this network. And so it might be in Africa, it might be in Asia, but we'll have affiliates that will help carry out some of the training. We do have some projects here among our faculty to develop a wheelchair performance measure so we can evaluate how wheelchairs do, not only based on engineering standards, but how easy it is to propel in different areas and rough terrain or urban environments. And we will be developing some some tests to evaluate whether clinicians are really ready to provide complex wheelchair services around the world. So it's a group here in Pittsburgh doing a portion of the work, but then we have a fund set aside in the grant to create this affiliate network that will carry out wheelchair services and wheelchair training around the world.
Our guests on Essential Pittsburgh, Dr. Rory Cooper and Dr. John Perlman, helping to create new standards for the wheelchair bound. Let's take some more phone calls. We have Holly in Oakland. Hi, Holly. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I have several questions. Two are related to transportation. What is being done by this new, what will be done by this international organization to produce a universal hookup or hook-on kind of device to be used in public transportation vehicles all over the world?
So this project, at least in the early stages, will not attack that problem. It's certainly a problem, and transportation is an issue, and it's a topic that we have at the, you know, in our lab have focused on to develop an easier to use hookup in buses. But transportation accessibility is not, it's not the focus of this project.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's certainly an important concern, I would think.
Oh, no question. I mean, transportation is a huge concern for wheelchair users and people with disabilities. It's one of the biggest barriers to employment and education and participating in society. Let me just put it a little bit in context. There's about 70 million people in the world who need wheelchairs. There's about 20 million people in the world who have access to a wheelchair. They may not even have their own, but it means they have one available in a care facility or a community center. And about 4 million wheelchairs are used in the United States, and another 4 million are used in Europe. So that takes up 8 million of the 20 million wheelchairs that are even available in the world. And there's only about 6 million wheelchairs produced each year in the world, of which Europe and U.S. consume about half of those. And those wheelchairs last about 3 years. So that means that under the current circumstances, we can't get beyond the 20 million. And so that leaves 50 million people unaddressed. So while transportation is a huge issue, we're trying to get that. We're trying to get to that point, right? We're first trying to get people. If you don't have a wheelchair at all, using a public transportation system is somewhat secondary.
Right, it's kind of a moot point. But then once you get to that point, Holly, I think you certainly bring up a legitimate concern because, as Dr. Cooper just said, it is an issue that speaks to access to employment, to schooling, to just all the things that everybody in society, by virtue of their health, has access to, and you know, this is about equity, and so I thank you for that call, and I thank you for bringing that up.
Well, Holly's a friend.
Just one other quick question here.
Yes,
in the related to that, many of the scooters and kinds of wheelchairs that are 3- and 4-wheel vehicles produced will say in their warranties and so on that they're not permissible for use in the or not supported for use in the outdoors, and yet most people are using them in outdoor terrain. And I'm just wondering, is any work going to be done to try to make those claims more realistic and avoid? Well, I think the companies are trying to avoid any liability for the.
So yes, that's a simple answer. I should have said hi, Holly, earlier. But so we're actually constantly working on new designs, and so you're kind of addressing two challenges, I would say. One is as I went back to earlier, what insurance will cover, and the reason that the manufacturers are making those claims is largely because Medicare has made the ruling that they only provide wheelchairs for use in the home. And that's why the four chairs aren't covered, and that's by and large why a lot of the 3- and 4-wheeled scooters that are suitable for outdoor use are not covered. And that's something that we had to continue to advocate for, that our insurance policies and our federal programs shouldn't restrict us to living only in our homes, that we have every right to be out in our communities, and that the healthcare system should support that. It's we don't have a healthcare system that if you have another disease or injuring condition that we only get you healthy enough that you can stay in a hospital bed. So that has to be changed. On the other hand, we have to drive new designs and new technology so that those products are those wheelchairs or scooters are suitable for being safely driven out in the community and being used as in public transportation.
So that so that you get to the point where people aren't worried about the liability that may or may not be involved. Holly, thank you. Let's take one last call from Jim in Squirrel Hill. Jim, hi. Welcome. You're on with Dr. Perlman, Dr. Cooper.
This is sort of in response to David, who wanted to donate a used wheelchair. I recently, my wife is a long-term wheelchair user, and we accumulated lots of equipment over the years, including a power wheelchair that was a couple of generations behind what she's got now. So I called the places that you had mentioned, and no one seemed to be interested in this. And after a little bit of work, I discovered a place that's up in Beaver Falls called Recycled Mobility Products. And this is sort of a labor of love run by a gentleman who takes in used equipment and lets clients who might need them come in and browse and take whatever they want. I can give you the phone number if you like.
Recycled Mobility Products. Yes, and we'll put this information on our website at WESA.FM. The phone number, Jim, is?
The phone number is 724-846-8800. And their website is www.recycledmobilityproducts.org.
724-846-8800. We'll put a link again to that website on our website at WESA.FM. Jim, thank you for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
And we've come to time for this segment, but I want to thank both of our guests, Dr. Rory Cooper and Dr. John Perlman, who are helping to create new standards for the wheelchair-bound. These doctors, co-directors of Pitt's Department of Rehabilitation Science and Technology, and this month they're launching the International Society of Wheelchair Professionals. Joining us in Studio A, again, Dr. Cooper, Dr. Perlman, thank you both for being with us.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll hear how the Pittsburgh Arts Council is helping people with special needs obtain access to the arts. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.